Well, here's a man that is coming to our microphones. He gives us a Middle East news update every week. And I got to tell you the truth, David Dolan is always on the road as well. I'm glad we were able to catch him today. Want to talk about some of the things happening in the Middle East. What about the Palestinian Unity Government that was sworn in, David? That is quite a development there in Israel.
Well, it was not only a development in Israel, but of course the world reacted to it. And really, Jimmy, the biggest news in Israel was the fact that the Obama administration was willing to recognize the new government and work with it, and also to keep funding it, most importantly. And that despite the fact that the United States lists the Hamas organization as a terrorist organization, as does the European Union, even Russia does, and several other major countries. So that was the biggest shock, I would say, in Israel as a response to the formation of the unity government, even though, as has been pointed out and as the State Department spokesman pointed out, there are no active Hamas members in the new cabinet in terms of Hamas leaders. These are technocrats mainly from both Fatah and Hamas, from both sides. They deliberately left out the professional politicians for the time being in order to make it just a transitional government, because, of course, this is all supposed to lead to elections, which would only be the second time the Palestinians have ever gone to the polls. They were supposed to go every 4 years, beginning in 1994, but that never happened. They finally went in 2006. And, of course, elected Hamas overwhelmingly to the parliament. So they won about 60% of the vote. This could happen again in the next election. Then it will be an all-out Hamas government, once again, as it was in 2006, where they take the lead. If that happens, then the Israelis certainly hope at that point that the United States would back away from working with such a government. Not that the Israelis want to see U.S. aid to the Palestinians cut off. They want to see that aid. They want to see the military training that's been given to their security forces by the United States. That's still ongoing in Jordan. They want to see all those things continue because the U.S. is considered a stabilizing force and a force for good with the Palestinians, as it is with Israel, but not if Hamas is part of the government, as Prime Minister Netanyahu pointed out last week at his cabinet session. They continue to call for Israel's destruction. They continue to renew those calls, as Ismail Haniyeh, the former prime minister of the whole PA, and most recently serving in that role in Gaza, where they seized power in 2007 from the PA. This is a force that Israel simply cannot ever negotiate with or work with at all. So it's effectively the end of any chances of peace or any cooperation. And they're hoping that if the U.S. and other financial donors, the Europeans and the U.S. together, Jimmy, form about two-thirds of the Palestinian foreign aid that comes in. If that were to be pulled, Japan also gives quite a bit. If that were to be pulled, then they think the Palestinians would go back to a more moderate government and would get rid of Hamas. So that would be the goal of not supporting it at this time. But the U.S. has decided to continue to support it, and the Israelis won't. They won't transfer any tax money. They won't do any of the other things that they are committed to do under the peace process, because, of course, part of the peace process is the Palestinians recognizing Israel's right to exist and stopping the war against them. That was explicitly what Yasser Arafat signed as part of the Oslo Accords, and Hamas again denounces all of that and acts against all of that. And so this new government is a disaster as far as Israel is concerned, and frankly, as far as the chances, as remote as they were before, the chances for peace go down to minus something, minus 20 or something. So it's just a real disaster overall.
Yes, absolutely. And Israel's response to the Palestinian Unity Government was to get permission to go ahead with building around 3,000 units in Judea and Samaria. They're making a pretty important statement here, aren't they?
That's right, and quite a few of those would be in the eastern half of Jerusalem, which the Palestinians also considered occupied territory, territory they need to get back. But as you say, this is in many of the communities in Judea and Samaria. It's a fairly substantial number, and it's again, Prime Minister Netanyahu has warned for months, that if the Palestinians take unilateral actions, prejudge the outcome of peace talks completely. In other words, they want the solution on the table agreed to before the talks even begin, which is what they've been saying. They want to know that it's going to be the 67 borders, for instance, at the end that they'll get, and this sort of thing, that Israel will abide with, and Netanyahu said, we'll then take our own unilateral actions. Well, they went to the UN unilaterally couple months ago and received membership on a bunch of UN bodies, state recognition. So it's a unilateral statehood move on their part, as they've tried before, and now putting in a government that Israel simply cannot work with at all, and again, that a major partner in it calls for Israel's destruction. So there's going to be more, and I believe even more dramatic moves, Jimmy, possibly if Hamas wins the elections, if they are held. Palestinian elections are always a question mark, as they are in a lot of the Arab world, or they're just farce ones, as we've just seen in Syria and some other places. If they're held and Hamas wins, then probably, I would guess, Netanyahu may go ahead and actually formally annex part of the territories that Israel intends to keep. He's hinted at that. That is certainly what several of his cabinet ministers, Naftali Bennett and some others, are openly advocating that. That could well happen, and of course, that would be met with a great roar from the world, and especially from the Islamic world, and in particular the Arab world.
David, what about the Israeli ambassador to the United States calling and almost demanding that the United States move their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? Now, this has been in the works in the United States government for a long time, but it has not been accomplished yet.
No, and I think the Israelis are just kind of sick of the pronouncements, because every 4 years you have pretty much every Democrat and Republican running for president in this country declare that if they are elected, they will make sure that that congressionally mandated move from many, I've forgotten the date, maybe you have it in front of you, but it's many years ago that that was first passed in the U.S. Congress, that the embassy must be moved to the capital of Israel. There's no other country in the world where our embassy is not in the country's capital city. And of course, it was once in the capital city. It was moved down to Tel Aviv, and a lot of other embassies left Jerusalem after Israel annexed the eastern half of it in 1980-81. The reality is that that this is Israel's capital, and again, the Israelis are I believe, being very justified in insisting that the governments, you know, put their embassies in their capital city. After all, the prime minister's office, okay, he has one in Tel Aviv too. Defense minister also has an office in Tel Aviv, and others do, but the main government buildings and ministries are all in Israel. The prime minister lives there. The president lives there. That's the seat of government. The Americans supposedly recognize that fact, and proof on the ground would be to move the embassy there. And, Jimmy, I think you've seen the new consulate building that's been built there. I've toured it. It's right across the street from close friends of mine, Jewish believers in Israel. I could see it from my old apartment window when I lived in the south part of the city. It's a big complex, could easily serve as the new embassy. It'd be a lot safer than the one in Tel Aviv, which has been attacked from the sea several times, and from the main street that it's on. It's on a busy street. The one in Jerusalem is on a remote neighborhood street in the southeast of the city, but it straddles the east-west border between the two sides, and so the Palestinians don't want that to happen. But the Israelis do, and we'll see, but I don't think the call will go anywhere.
I've often joked about the idea that I was going to go to the embassy of Israel in Washington and suggest they move to Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's about the same logic that the United States is doing today. Give me about 30 seconds, if you will, David. Looks like that there's been a declaration that the Israeli Air Force is second only to the United States Air Force. Now, that does say something.
It does, and I would say that in full combat, we might even discover that the Israelis come out on top, just because they have to be constantly ready for attacks on their own homeland. And the United States, thank God, doesn't have to prepare much for that. The Mexicans you mentioned and the Canadians aren't likely to fly across Chinese and Russians could come in with planes, but not too likely. But over Israel, it's a very real possibility. They are in active combat periodically. Of course, our jets are overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places, and our pilots are great, the United States pilots, but the Israelis certainly are as well, and glad to see that acknowledged.
Exactly, and that's one of the provisions I do believe the Lord has given the Jewish State of Israel for today. David Dolan, our man who covers the Middle East, right here on Prophecy Today. David, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.